views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I am Chris Stainis, founder of Women of Wisdom. And today, well, it's actually Earth Day, so I want to invite all of us to celebrate our precious, beautiful Earth by getting out there in nature, showing our appreciation for how it sustains us, and prayers that it will continue to do so. And let's be aware of our actions today and how we impact the Earth, and just really be living consciously about that. Well, today I'm talking with Lynn Cockrum Murphy. Lynn is an intuitive consultant specializing in bringing guidance to those who seek assistance with their spiritual path. She facilitates physical healing, emotional growth, and removing blocks to a life of joy, meaning, and purpose. She has a doctorate in education. She is a licensed substance abuse counselor, an access bars instructor, an advanced level theta healer, and course instructor. She teaches at Northern Arizona University and also has a private practice in Phoenix. So she's here today with her new book, Living Hope, Steps to Leaving Suffering Behind. It's an Amazon number one bestseller, and it talks about how she went from hopelessness to hope. So welcome, Lynn, to the show.
Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for having me today.
Yeah, well, I want to start out with you telling your story, you know, which was, you know, you've led quite an eventful life up at, you know, that has brought about this healing and your change of career and everything for you.
Yeah. The book tells lots and lots of details about how challenging the first 25 years of my life was. The first chapter starts with the house fire that I survived at age 2. I was the only one who survived that. My mother wasn't home at the time, so after that, I went on to be raised by my mother. I had lost my father and 2 sisters in the fire, but my father also saved my life, which is a great gift that came from that whole experience. So a little bit more about that story, those first 25 years, is that I went on to be like emotionally wounded, physically wounded. And then my mother, because of her own losses, began drinking. And actually, I have no idea how she drank before that, but I do know that after that, it increased. And so my sense of loss was never resolved. It increased. She remarried later on to a man who was emotionally abusive and threatening to her. The book includes some abuse that occurred to me by a couple of relatives. So that's in there. But that the cool thing that's also in there is it talks about, or I talk about, how I had this victim mentality going. And at the same time, I had a part of me that my family fostered that said, there's got to be some hope. There's got to be, if they took me to church and said, there is this God, and you can talk to it, and you can ask for help, and you can, et cetera. So if there's that, then there's something I can look to for help. I can expect things to improve. At the same time, I didn't see my family go to church. I saw them drop me off at their or arrange for me to go. I went to a lot of different kinds of churches because of different relatives, but I didn't see them utilize it in their life. They went to the bar instead. And so I got this real mixed message. So part of me was looking for, where's this thing called God that makes a difference for people? And, you know, why are we drinking so much? So it was pretty confusing. I went on to, my stepdad died when I was 9, and then my mother remarried about a year later, and that fellow was a really serious drinker, had quite a problem with it, and my mother began to drink more. What I hadn't mentioned is a few years before that, she had my little sister with my first stepdad, so I had this wonderful person to look after that I just adore. But then I went into my teen years, and teen years are rough with a good setup, you know, and I certainly didn't have a good setup. So those were really, that's when the abuse switched from like others abusing me to me allowing myself to be abused, me abusing myself, unable to say no to people in situations. And so that victim thinking really was going. And then at 17, I got an offer to get married, and I jumped at it because it got me out of my parents' house. So at 17, I left my parents' house. Within about a year, I became a Buddhist, studied Buddhism, because I found, you know, if my family said the answers lie in Christianity, but it wasn't there for them, then what should I do? And when I heard about Buddhism, I thought, okay, this sounds good. So I started studying it, and I really got some answers. And I think that's part of what is unique about my situation, but also the point of the book, so we can have hope that no matter what path we're on, any decision at any point can change it. You can change direction. So that was a very short-lived marriage. I continued my Buddhist studies and practices for some years, and including living in a Buddhist community. And then a few years later, I joined a metaphysical Christian community and lived with that group in Oregon. So a commune in Oregon, very life-changing, very influential, and really got me on my feet and out of the more destructive path that I was a part of living in Reno, Nevada, where in a city like Reno, it'd be like living in Las Vegas. You have access to way more stuff than is good for anybody's physical, emotional, spiritual well-being. So it was good to be out of that world. And I began my career as a special ed teacher. So really, to wrap it up, the commitment to my spiritual life, I think, is what saved my neck. I got married, and to a wonderful person. I married, it'll be 32 years this summer, and I got to teach special ed kids for 30 years, and what a gift that was, teaching kids to read, write, spell, and do well in the world made me truly happy, and then I went on to teach for the university. I went on to also become a substance abuse counselor. Work in a drug treatment center for 5 years, and now I have private practice. So I work for the university some, but really I private practice at home. And I get to take all those years of experience and wisdom and awareness and gift that back to my clients so that when they come in, whatever it is that they're looking for, I have a lot of tools to assist them and to help them get their feet on the ground and resolve stuff. And they leave here feeling lighter, feeling better. Mm-hmm. And so that's my joy.
Well, then that's great that you, I think it's very important when we do our healing work that we also give back and we reach out to help others. Because you have so much experience in dealing with all this. So what was it like for you to, you know, to write this, it's such a personal book of sharing all these stories, you know, including, you know, your mother was murdered, all sorts of things.
You know, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, right. That her life ended with she and my stepdad bought a bar. And I remember I talked to her on the phone about that time because I was still in Oregon and she was in Nevada. And I said, what have you done? You know you have a drinking problem. And she poo-pooed it. And within 2 months, it was robbed. And she was killed. He was wounded. And how damaging that was to our family as a whole, all of us. So back to, I forgot your question because that piece threw me. Will you repeat your question for me?
Oh, yeah. Well, just being able to write such a, you know, what it was like for you to write this book, you know, was it like revisiting all these aspects or these incidences in your life?
Right. Yeah. I had done a lot of the work, from working with therapists to using newer techniques like theta healing, and really released a lot of the angst and the grief, et cetera. Writing the book was another layer of that, but it wasn't as devastating as as it might have been if I hadn't done so much work prior. So there would be times that stuff came up and it would pass. And it's interesting because with interviews like this, occasionally things will come up like just a moment ago where I'm like, wow, that's big. Okay. And where were we? And then it just calms right back down. So quite a transition. And yeah, I used a lot of tools and we'll talk about those.
Yes, we're going to go into that. And also, if you could think of one thing that was a turning point in your life, was it leaving your marriage or going to the commune or?
I cannot pinpoint one thing. I've been asked that before, and it just seems like it was a real progression, like each decision. I'm leaving my parents' house, and so I'm getting married really young to do that, but that's okay because it gets me out of my parents' house.
So I see it's a process. Well, we're going to take a break right now, and we'll come back and talk more with Lynn Cockrum Murphy.
Would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience launching in April. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com. Hey everyone, meet my friends at the maca team. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is known worldwide for its huge array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team is here to bring you the best maca the Peruvian mountains has to offer. Yellow maca, used to promote endurance, vitality, fertility, hormone health, and much more, is on sale now. I love it. Visit themacateam.com to order yours now. Themacateam.com.
Sound a little.
We're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm speaking with Lynn Cockrum Murphy. She's the author of Living Hope, Steps to Leaving Suffering Behind. And Lynn, that's where I want to go right now. It's just even your title, you know, how do you, we're not going to get into the steps yet, but this whole thing of suffering and moving from suffering to having hope. Let's talk about this suffering issue, because you suffered a lot during your developing years, and how that can lead to finding peace in your life.
When I first thought about that, you know, I was really, really struck by how it doesn't seem likely that you can move from suffering to peace, and that suffering can even be part of what propels you to the change that then leads to peace. But for me, the suffering is evident in those experiences that I had. And it was the long process of mostly through meditation of going within, going within, going within, and looking for peace, looking for unconditional love, looking for a different view than a woe is me. I think suffering is, you know, the Buddhists talk about it a lot, because Buddha talked about it and said it's just a natural state of being alive on earth. It's humans suffer. You know, we have desires, we want things, life is hard, and you get sick, and, you know, people you love die, and stuff happens. And so that really struck me. On the other hand, how do you not stay in that place? So that's where that whole teaching about all the process of moving towards enlightenment and how that's the way to remove suffering. But I also found in my own work, my study of psychology and spiritual practices besides Buddhism, that there's an awful lot that we can do to reduce the suffering, to reduce the anxiety, to remove the depression. You know, one of the things I talk about in the book is PTSD also, and that was something I was diagnosed with. And you can see why, you know, that it applies to soldiers, people in war zones, but it also applies to people here at home who have just experienced tragedy. I believe it's PTSD is defined as what occurs for a person after they witness a life-threatening event. And it's the numbers of people with it are pretty huge, like 8% of the population. So I mm-hmm. thought that the book was important for that I don't very often experience any of the symptoms of that now, but I certainly did.
What are the symptoms? Let's talk about, you know, how does PTSD impact people? How does it, you know, how did it impact your life or people you see? Because you probably work with a lot of people that have that. What are the symptoms? So maybe you might help people recognize. Sometimes you aren't aware that you are having
mm-hmm.
PTSD.
Mm-hmm. The startle reflex is one that all of us, when someone walks up behind us or the phone rings or something, kind of, you know, your attention jolts. But people with PTSD, it's like you see their body jolt, and it's a riveting electrical feeling for them. It's big. is out of proportion to what just happened, having someone walk up behind you and say hi. So that's one. The dreams, nightmares is another. And then when certain triggering events happen where it's like you're back in the situation. So, for instance, once I watch a film on the fires of Kuwait with a school event, and it was like just too much. I had to sit and do deep breathing and things like that to get through that because of the immenseness of the amount of fire. So there's a lot of recurrence, like you're re-experiencing it, and all kinds of noises or smells or whatever can trigger that. And part of the healing work is to learn to recognize that and control it. Numbing out type addictions often are a result. And those are like four off the top of my head. So relationship problems and trust problems also can come up after that. All of which, once someone knows about it, so it's a great thing to look up and see if you are hearing yourself described in it, because it can be also triggered by repeated abuse. It doesn't have to be a death. So abuse, a horrible car accident. If you lived in New York during 9/11 or near one of the schools that's been attacked, or, I mean, there's so many things that can trigger it. So what we want to do is enhance our resilience so that we recognize what's going on and we use the tools that help us return to peace and calm.
Mm-hmm. And being aware of what your response is, I think it's very important to, because then, you know, that awareness allows you to go, okay, I need to use some of my tools now. I need to, you know, this is what I need to do. Like you said, sitting in the classroom watching a film on fire, you had to do some deep breathing.
Right. Yeah, so being self-aware, you know, I knew in that situation, going into that situation, based upon other things that had happened, like, okay, well, I need to pay attention because I want to be there for the kids. I want to be at work that day. What can I do that will work for me? But there were other things that happened prior to that. When we lived in Oregon, we did a bonfire to burn a bunch of brush on the land. And when that thing caught fire and you hear that little whoosh of the wind and then the thing igniting and then the little boom as it pops, that was a triggering event for me. I had to go hide. So, Yeah, those kinds of things happen. And now they don't, you know, because that was over 30 years ago. Yeah, I'm sure they're unique to the person and to whatever was the triggering event. But as I said, with abuse, there's multiple triggering events. So it's not quite as locked in. It's PTSD. It's not just triggered by one smell or one sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and so we've been talking about these hard times and in your book around finding joy, it seems like sometimes you need a little distance, like in order to go, like you have to have some time. Do you feel you have to have some time pass through before you realize that get to that place of peacefulness in your life and finding joy is hard to do in the moment when you're going through things. But so how do you feel about that? Is it, you know, some time needs to lapse, or because sometimes we're just so in it that we can't even see the possibility of getting through to the other side to find some joy here?
Yeah. Well, I do think that time, you know, that's a belief in our country that time heals, and it seems applicable. In my case, I was young, so I needed to grow up and have a broader perspective and more life experience and more information. That really helped me. I think for finding joy, it's kind of like you have to go look for it. If you aren't a naturally happy person, a person who laughs easily, then it's a matter of discovering, like, how do I get that? And that is one of the themes that I mentioned in the book, is I saw other people had what I wanted. So I had a tendency to study people and see who they were, how they were that way, maybe even ask them questions. And then the part that like made sense or seemed to fit for me, I then incorporated into my own life. And there's some examples of that. It also made me believe, it gave me more evidence, people can be happy. This is possible. You don't have to stay in the suffering.
Yeah, and it's so easy. We're kind of conditioned to do that. You know, it's like we indulge in ourself and it becomes a pattern. And until you start to recognize the pattern to make the changes, mm-hmm. you can get stuck mm-hmm. in that indulging.
Mm-hmm. Well, and controlling our thoughts is a pretty big deal. And I don't think we're taught that at all. It's a matter of, for me, it was a matter of meditation where you learn to become aware and to not react. And then psychology, where you do become aware of thought patterns and irrational beliefs. I love that part, the 12 core irrational beliefs and how, you know, you can challenge those and change your viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to recognize it's a choice. You can make a choice to, and it's one way, one step in turning around is making a choice to be happy. Like you said, you looked at others that were happy or laughing or, you know, could laugh mm-hmm. at things, how they did it. And so that you can start emulating that yourself too.
Yeah. You know, that whole thing about, George Washington, was it George? No, it was Abraham Lincoln was depressed and he was this and he was that, but he made a choice and he went forward every day and did his work and look at what he did for the country. And when I first heard that kind of stuff, I'm like, wow, how do you do that? Cause I'm so depressed. I can't imagine going out and changing the world, let alone getting through some days. And yet it really is. It's a matter of going, well, what one thing can I do today? What one step can I take? How do I move forward? And looking for those little bits that we can do.
One step at a time. It can be so overwhelming. And mm-hmm. when you're so wrapped up in it, it's hard to even think that there's any steps there to take.
Well, I think because there's also that chemical component. There's the physical component. Which is, that's probably why a lot of people take medication, but you can also use exercise to create some of those chemical changes in your body. And then, so besides the physicality of it, there is the mental, and how am I recreating this and recreating this and recreating this? I love that. One of the things that's popular now is letting go of your story.
Oh, that's true. Well, we have to take another break, but I love that. Letting go of your story. Well, we'll come back and talk more with Lynn Cochran Murphy.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to. Someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790.
Oh, wait. awaken to your radiant, authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Have you ever tried to make lifestyle changes but had difficulty following through? Imagine what it would be like to get up each morning with energy, clarity, and motivation to tackle the day. If you want to get past limiting barriers that are preventing you from living your best life, join holistic health and wellness coach T. Carrie Mitchell each month on The Dr. Pat Show. Or visit lifestyle120.com today and start to receive the personal attention you deserve.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we're talking with Lynn Cockrum Murphy, author of Living Hope, Steps to Leaving Suffering Behind. So, Lynn, can you give your information, like your website, where people can find out more about you and the work you do?
I have two websites. The one for the book, if people just want to look at the book, read a free chapter, get some of the free downloads, sign up for the newsletter, any of those things. That is at Lynn Cockrum, C-O-C-K-R-U-M, hyphen, Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, .com. So LynnCockrumMurphy.com. The other website, which is more for my business, is DesertJewel.org. And that is where I announce classes that I'm teaching, Theta Healing, Access Bars, Steps to Leaving Suffering Behind, and a new one that's coming up in June, which is Getting Higher Guidance. And then about the services that I offer, from trauma release work to, oh, I love this one, the energetic facelift, which everybody, all the women get excited about, besides my theta healing work and the counseling work and so on. So it talks more about me and all about the services and the classes. So that's DesertJewel.org. I work with people in person, but I also work with people over the phone or through Skype or Zoom or whatever works.
Okay, great. So we were just talking about how letting go of your story. And, you know, it's that whole identity thing that there's that fear of losing our identity because we attach our story to who we are. And to go through the motions of letting go of that story can be very scary.
It can. The first time I did that work, I really ended up with a, well, but who am I response? Like, what am I doing here and who am I if I'm not all that I had told myself I was because of everything that had happened? So I let it come back to some degree. And then over time, kept doing the work to let that story go more and more. So in these interviews, or when someone asks me about my book, I will talk about my story to whatever extent is necessary. But I don't spend my day living in my story and repeating it to myself like I did when I was younger. I don't have the, oh, woe is me. I have the, wow, I am an infinite spiritual being, as everyone actually is. I am that. And I'm having this human experience, and it's changed for me, even from, you know, the concepts that we talk about, life is a school, we come here to learn stuff, and it's difficult. I don't even look at life that way anymore. I see life as a playground, and how fun it is, and what do we get to do next, and who do I get to meet next, and oh my gosh. So it's really changed for me, but it's, you know, it used to be more about the story. So I do encourage when it's appropriate for a client, that I bring that up and help them start the process to let that go. Why stay stuck in who I was when I can be all that I can be? And I don't even know yet what all that means, as most people don't. But that's, you know, exciting. Makes life more fun.
Yeah, it's part of the journey. And that is life, you know, it's a journey rather than we tend to think it's such, we're so linear and in our patriarchal society of what's the end result? What are we going for versus enjoying the process? And what that end result is never, is always going to change. You know, it doesn't stay static. Well, you talk about and refer to in your book a lot about suffering being an illusion. And that can help with, you know, part about letting go of your story is if you know it's illusionary. And so I'd love for you to explain a little bit more about that.
Okay. And that is based upon the more advanced spiritual teachings that everything here on our planet is illusion. We haven't the perspective to see that, for instance, the walls aren't solid. They're vibrating molecules in motion. And if you're a student at Maharishi University here in the U.S., you learn how to move through walls. You learn how to put your hands through walls. If, for me, it's more like knowing that I have a body I created, I use it for this purpose, but I'm not that. I am so much more than that. So because I know that everything looks solid and real around me, but I am energy, and everything around me, including my body, is just energy in a more dense form, it helps me change my thinking. And so maybe the suffering that I experience so intensely, and I'm sure most people do when stuff happens, it's very intense. But then later we step back and have a different perspective. So I can stay in the intensity of that was so hard, or I can move to, wow, what an experience I chose to have. I wonder why that. I wonder why those players were in it. And it all lightens up when you change your perspective. So I can move from suffering to appreciating this is all an illusion with great purpose. And we even create our lack of awareness within it so that we can experience it. Because if I were to come into this life knowing full well what I was going to experience, I would do everything I could to get out of this life and not be here. But that isn't how it works. So we have our illusion and we step in and we grow. Or maybe we release karma and then we grow.
Yeah, that brings me to my next question about karma, because you talk about that in your book, and you just mentioned like these players in your life, you know, that are part of our story involves other people, or our suffering obviously often involves other people. And so how does karma play into that in your perspective?
Studying karma really made everything start to make sense to me. Like I couldn't imagine why my father would want to die saving my life. But that he wasn't able to save my sister's life. You know, like, what? What was that about? Through meditation and lots of guidance over the years, I was able to discern enough about that to make it make sense for me. But that's true with everything. Why did I choose this whole family drama with all the dysfunction? I wanted to know what was behind it. And karma really explained a lot of that to me, including a lot of the abuse. But it took time. It took a lot of taking pieces from dreams and from meditations and going to others for guidance until, you know, I don't need to go to others for guidance now, but I sure did in the decades along the way. And putting the pieces together so I could understand why my life is what it is. And now, even moving towards the understanding that we can actually transcend karma. And that is part of what I look forward to creating in the future. But first, you know, you really have to get grounded in, we have this experience, and what are we going to do with it?
Mm-hmm. But you brought up an interesting point, transcending karma. That sounds, and that seems tied to enlightenment in a way, in my sense of that, and almost beyond what some of humans can do. It just almost seems impossible to transcend all that. And yet there are people who have led a spiritual path that have probably accomplished that.
Yes, you'll find it every once in a while, in like Baba Ram Dass's books, or you'll find little pieces of that or what Christ did. And yet I was working at a spiritual fair recently, and there was a woman there who was doing energy work. And we talked about that she's aware that it's changing that way, that we are all more able to see, oh, this is one of those precipitating events. If I step into this, I will create karma. Oh, I can walk away from it. I don't have to. So there's that angle on it. And then there's, like you were saying, there's the masters who already know how to do what I don't know how to do yet.
Yeah. Well, I like what you say. Yeah, stepping, being aware that this is something that's going to have consequences. Again, stepping into some suffering or, what's going to happen in your life if you do this. And so that having that awareness, like, oh, you have a choice. You don't have to do this. Well, let's give we've got a couple minutes right here before we go to break. Give us an action step or tool that you recommend for people if they're dealing with suffering.
Okay. One is question everything. Everything that you were taught. Now that you're an adult, do you need that? Does it fit for you today? Is it relevant in this decade? So a lot of what we were taught was to get us to behave or to control us when we were young. Now as adults, we get to think about it and reject or accept what we were taught. Make it fit and work for you. Question things.
Yes, that's always good. Excellence, we get sort of in that rote, go on with our lives without even questioning things, and then we're in this consequence, like, oh my goodness, and we didn't even stop because.
Right. It can be little or big. For me, one of the little ones was, a woman always wears a slip. And then finally one day it was like, really? This is 2005. We don't wear nylons anymore. What do you mean you always wear a slip? That's just a simple one. But to reject things like that, that if it works for me, I can keep it. But if it doesn't, if it's just a rule, question it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take another break now, so stay tuned, come back. We'll talk more with Lynn Cockrum Murphy.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show that brings a real and dynamic message to uncovering and believing in the true amazing being you already are. Tune in and let Catherine help you become truthful, authentic, and mindful of living on purpose one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Discover the 8 things the elements of prosperity want you to know. Lynn Brown is hosting a life-transforming, soul-expanding evening on April 30th featuring guest speaker and radio host, Dr. Pat Basile. Lynn was guided to make this a by-donation event for entrance, and all proceeds will be donated towards uplifting the homeless community. For more information and to get tickets, visit eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com and type Lynn Brown in the search.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm talking with Lynn Cockrum Murphy. We've been discussing her book, Living Hope, Steps to Leaving Suffering Behind. So, Lynn, you were talking about some tools to help people with this. And is there anything else that you want to share about some action steps people can take to lead them to a more peaceful, happier, joyful life?
The book has quite a few tools all throughout it. The chapters are short and has lots of ideas through my experience and other suggestions. In fact, at the back of the book, there's a list of things to try. And so for a person who is, say, experiencing depression, maybe still gets up and goes to work each day, but has that exhausted kind of feeling because of depression, from that list, you can try one thing a day and say, you know what, I'm moving forward, I'm taking steps, I'm not stuck. And there are ideas like just get out in nature, go sit in the backyard, pick up a new book, watch one of the films. There's a film list in there, films that foster spiritual growth. So those things might be useful to the listeners. So other tools, let's see. Besides the questioning, there's the seeking, and that's looking in the world for who has what you want and how did they get it. Asking questions, like we talked about, but seeking, like, is this my niche or is this my niche? And I think the most important one to me is a spiritual practice. And a spiritual practice can be, it's different for all of us. So I have friends who are Jewish. And so their practice, I think they're having, God, I don't remember the name of it, a special dinner this weekend where they prepare special meals and they come together as a group. That's their spiritual practice. And it really nourishes them. For my Buddhist friends, they did a diksha the other day. It depends on what you're called to, what is familiar to you from your ancestors or from other lives, and that's what you go with. So for me, although I was introduced to Christianity, I moved towards Buddhism, and then I didn't stay with that sect of Buddhism. Eventually, I moved just to meditation and then studied with some different teachers, and that is really how I nourish my soul on a daily basis and connect with my full self. And through that, now I have the ability to hear, to get my own guidance, to feel connected, to know and feel Creator's love and attention, and that I can offer that back because I have that deep love for that creative source that started all this that we are. But that's through a spiritual practice. So for me, it's meditating every morning. I don't usually do an evening meditation, but it also means that I do a gratitude list a couple times a day. I wake up in the morning, I think about, what am I thankful for? What is so good about this life? And there's so much. And I do it again as I'm falling asleep at night. So the spiritual practice, you know, for a lot of people, that actually happens out in nature. When I was working in the treatment center, when some of my clients finally got what I was talking about finding ways to inner peace without getting high, it was when we were out in nature, when we were hiking, they were like, oh, boy, this does do it for me. And then some of the guys, we started connecting that fishing really did that for them. So a spiritual practice of whatever type that really suits you. I know an older man that for him, it was just to read the materials from his church repeatedly. He set time aside for that every day, and it fed his soul. And so that's really all it is, in whichever way it works for a person. Do what feeds your soul. And then you just kind of naturally move into a calmer, more peaceful, happier state. And I guess the last thing I would say is that, and if you feel stuck, try some of the things in the book, because we don't have to stay stuck. It happens to all of us where we have the highs and lows and we have lulls, but we don't have to stay stuck.
No, we don't. And part of that is like just choosing to do something different. Like something like breaking a habit, you know, stop in the middle of the day and go walk outside or you know, walk down the street and smile at a person or go to a store, do an action step, because sometimes we just get sort of stuck, sit in our chair and mope and feel sorry for ourselves, you know, like, and it's just a matter of, and so some of it is like decide, you know, just exploring what gives you pleasure, what makes you happy, and to sit and meditate about that. Like, what did you enjoy doing as a child? Going back to that memory of might tap into something that would bring that joy. Because a lot of times we've left those things behind because, you know, we had to grow up and get serious about life and work and all that. And we've left behind those creative, fun things that we used to love to do.
I like that you said to do something different, because that often is what sparks it. You know, what about going to the movies by yourself? See what that's like. Calling your niece and going to a child's movie with a niece, because that's what she's going to enjoy. And wouldn't that be fun for you? So yeah, doing something different.
Mm-hmm. So we have a minute left for you. What is your last parting words of wisdom? What do you want people to receive from you?
I think the main thing that I truly want people to know is that they are shining beings of light. You are, I am, everyone listening is. We just haven't revealed it to ourselves yet. I think a lot of us are in the process now of knowing that we are creators. We are connected to Creator. And so we are that shining being of light, and that we can let down our masks and our shields and enjoy being that. We can change the world.
Yeah, like I say, that mask is part of that suffering too. We can put on a mask to hide our suffering, or we can put on a mask of suffering, letting everybody know I'm suffering. And to think about that, to consciously choose, like, to, okay, I'm going to take my mask off. I'm going to try to take my mask off and be real with people right now. It'll show who I am.
People love people who are genuine. They really do. It's a wonderful trait, and that's what you're describing.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. And if more of us would do that around the world, we'd probably have more peace in the world. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Lynn.
Chris, thank you for having me. It was a nice conversation, and I hope that it reaches the people that are ready.
Yes, and you can check out Lynn's book. Again, her websites are www.lynncockrum-murphy. That's LYNNE. CockrumMurphy.com. And then also one that I think Lynn shared is where you can discover where her work is and stuff and things that she offers is desertjewel.org. So I'm Chris Stainis. I'm the founder of Woman of Wisdom Foundation. I want everybody to put on their calendars June 4th. We're having a sacred Pamper Day for women. We'll have tickets available pretty soon for people to buy, but right now we're still filling our booths of healers, psychic readers, body work workers to share their gifts with our community. It's a fundraiser for Women of Wisdom. It's a great fun day and a great place for you to be visible, sharing your gifts and getting known out here in Seattle. So you can find out information and apply on our website is thewowconference.org. It's our new website for some of the things that we're doing, including our annual conference. We're now going to start planning our 25th conference. Is going to be the President's Day weekend in February, the third weekend in February, and we're just beginning planning it now. And we welcome people to join to participate in our planning. If you want to be part of a circle, find a community of women to work with, join us in helping us plan the conference. It's going to be a big year, 25th year. And you can contact us at wow@womenofwisdom.org. And I invite everybody to check out my book. It's also an Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And it's it'd be a great Mother's Day gift for those in your life, who your mothers or friends, girlfriends, or yourself who want some inspiration on the divine feminine. It's many voices exploring through art and poetry and stories about the divine feminine. And you can, when you purchase it at Women of Wisdom, it helps us a lot more monetarily wise. And that's at womenofwisdom.org. Well, thanks for being with us today. I hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.